So we are in Genesis 42. Just to refresh your memory, when Jacob saw that there were food rations to be had in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you keep looking at one another?" Which is one of the more entertaining starts to a journey. So, chapter 42, verse 2.
He continued, "I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us so that we may live and not die."
Yep. So 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to get grain rations in Egypt. 10, not 11. Verse 4.
Jacob did not send. Excuse me. So 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt.
And the next verse.
But Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with his brothers, for he feared that harm might happen to him.
Okay. He's learned not to trust his sons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where does Benjamin fall in the order?
He's the last.
Oh, when she died.
Yeah, the last one born, and born when Rachel died giving birth. Thus the sons of Israel were among those who came to procure rations, for the famine extended to the land of Canaan. Yeah. Was it a complete famine? Complete and total. We'll leave that for later. Verse 6.
Now Joseph was the governor of the land, the one who sold grain to all the people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground.
Okay. So Joseph, did he delegate any of the passing out of the rations? It might have been that he delegated for the people of Egypt, but for anybody from outside, now he's going to sell it. And everybody coming into Egypt wanting grain has to come to him. Maintains tight control, oversees all of that, and I wonder if he was waiting for his brothers to show up. Verse 7.
Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he treated them like strangers and spoke roughly to them. "Where do you come from?" he said. They said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food."
Now we're going to find out later that he's not speaking to them in Hebrew, because they don't know that he knows Hebrew. He listens into their conversations later on. So he's speaking in Egypt, and his mannerisms and tone of voice are going to indicate what and what. Or his brothers have had to learn Egyptian because that's the dominant language of the area. And Egyptian and Hebrew, Aramaic, Arabic, different branches. There is some crossover, but not as much as you would think. Let's see. For though Joseph recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. Verse 9.
Then Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them and said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land."
Oh. where are you from? Are you from a country that has grain? Are you here to spy out our weakness so that while we're going through this famine, your armies can come and ravage the land? That type of thing. But they said to him, "No, my lord, truly your servants have come to procure food." Verse 11.
"We are all sons of one man. We are honest men. Your servants have never been spies." The plot thickens.
Yeah. Since we all caught that one, we'll just go on. And he said to them, "No, you have come to see the land in its nakedness." Verse 13.
But they replied, "Your servants were 12 brothers, the son of one man, who lives in the land of Canaan. The youngest is now with our father, the one is, and one is no more."
Yeah, and they're referring to Joseph there, of course. So they're giving extra details. Yeah. 12 brothers. Okay. But Joseph said to them, "It is just as I have told you. You are spies." Verse 15.
"By this you shall be tested, by the life of Pharaoh. You shall not go from this place unless your youngest brother comes here."
Oh. Pushing it. "Let one of you go and bring your brother while the rest of you remain confined, that your words may be put to the test, whether there is truth in you. Else, by Pharaoh, you are nothing but spies." Verse 17.
And he put them all in custody for 3 days.
Yeah, they threw him in a pit. He tossed him in the guardhouse.
Turn him out.
Turn
him out is fair play.
Oh, yeah. "And the third day Joseph said to them, 'Do this and you shall live, for I am a God-fearing man.'" Okay, verse 19.
"If you are honest men, let one of your brothers stay here in prison while the rest of you go and take grain back for your starving households."
Mm-hmm. "But you must bring me your youngest brother, that your words may be verified and that you may not die." And they did accordingly.
So, is this heart starting to soften just a little bit? Because originally he said one goes back, right?
Yeah.
And now he said they could all go back.
With the grain. I love that.
With the grain.
Yeah.
Or is he keeping them off balance? Yeah, he's going to change the demands and make it severe, then ease up on it, and make it severe, and ease up on it.
I have a timeline question. Don't remember. Was Benjamin born after all this?
No.
So he knew Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
Where was Benjamin when he was in the pit?
I thought he was
very young
after.
At home.
Yeah.
Ah, but let's look back.
It says Benjamin was 22 years old.
Chapter 35, right. The deaths of Rachel and Isaac. Esau's descendants, Joseph's dreams. So the death of Rachel is when Benjamin was born.
Yeah.
And then comes Joseph's dreams, and then sold by his brothers.
Well, how long was he in Egypt before all this happened?
That's a good question.
Because it says in the footnotes here that Benjamin was at least 20. I mean, not the study Bible. I know that's. It says he was at least 22. Was he there? Wasn't he like 17 when they threw him in the pit?
Joseph, a young man of 17.
Where? Where does it say Joseph, a young man of 17?
Was when he had his dreams.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That doesn't mean...
But he was 31.
And then...
He
was 30 years old when he had his brothers.
I just was wondering if even...
Oh, okay.
He was 30.
So, Joseph, a young man of 17, having dreams. 30 years old when he enters the service of Pharaoh. That's 13 years.
Well, and 7 years of...
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Of plenty before
so
the famine.
Yeah. Okay.
We don't know how many years into the famine this is. So he might not have even known he had a brother.
No, he knew, because he was a young man of 17. But Rachel died in childbirth before he had his dreams.
Okay.
His brothers were all older than him, weren't they?
Right, yeah.
Except Benjamin.
Well, actually,
wasn't he the youngest?
Do we even really
I thought when he...
She could have had...
Now we're
Joseph
back to
the, second to youngest,
the
right?
order of
Rachel,
birth.
Of Rachel, but do we know that?
Right, yeah. All the other...
I'm sorry, I'm like throwing a whole big...
Okay. We're back in chapter 30. Verse 22, Joseph is conceived, and then they leave.
In 35, verse 22, it says the sons of Jacob were 12, sons of Leah.
Oh, and then it lists them, yes.
It lists them.
But it lists them in order of...
By
each.
Yeah.
Wife or concubine. Yep. And do you take this to the end of Genesis? Jacob blesses his sons. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah... That's chapter 49. Zebulun, Issachar, Dan, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Joseph, Benjamin. That would seem to indicate that Joseph was the next to youngest and Benjamin the youngest. And it seems fairly consistent when you put all of it together that... Where were we?
42, verse 14.
See, this says... This says in this footnotes that it was 22 years later when Joseph was a ruler.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd been there 22 years.
The 13 years plus the 7.
And his brother, and then it says his brother was...
Plus the second year of the...
And it says his brother was only 22 years old when this happened.
At least 22.
So...
Yeah.
It's just a baby.
Can't trust all the footnotes.
Well, I mean, where does it specifically say he did know he had a brother?
It does not say he knew he had a brother,
well,
but... Benjamin was born.
Away, and she passed away having him. In childbirth.
Do we know that he knew his mother was passed away?
Unless he was really dim.
Why?
Because
they were all together then. They were still all together as a family.
I know, it's like I'm seeing it. I always thought he did not know about his brother,
Spill
the
this out.
Written,
spill
is,
this out for
right,
you.
Right, and if they said 12, he's thinking, let me meet this new brother.
I thought he was thinking, back
it all the way up, chapter 30, you have the sons born. 31, you have Jacob fleeing from Laban, and they're journeying. Jacob fears Esau, 32. Jacob meets Esau, 33. 34, the defiling of Dinah. 35, God blesses and renames Jacob. They're just back to the land. deaths of Rachel and Isaac, and Rachel dies near Bethlehem, and then they move on to a different location, and it says in chapter 37, Jacob lived in the land of his father's sojournings, so they're completely back home, and Benjamin is there, and everybody is there, and now Joseph's having dreams. And it's only after that that Joseph is sold by his brothers. So all of this takes place.
So Rachel never made it back to the homeland?
No. She made it as far as Bethlehem.
Okay.
But what was the actual location? South of there in the Negev. They went a little further south, and he gets back to where Isaac had his home. And then all this happens. And we're back to chapter 42.
Now, Joseph, he was in prison 13 years, right? Before he...
He was in Potiphar's house. And we don't know how long he was there. And then he was thrown in prison. And we don't know how long that was. And then the dreams of the other prisoners. And the cupbearer goes back. And it's a while later. Pharaoh's dreams happen. It's a while. It's 13 years.
13 years of misery.
Well, except for how long he was in Potiphar's house.
Yeah.
And then there's 7 years of plenty. So it's 20 years. And then they're into the drought. And it's probably the second year of the drought because it takes time for everybody else's resources to run dry. And we are at verse 21.
They said to one another, "Surely we are being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distress has come upon us."
Yeah, or the ESV, "We saw the distress of his soul." Which is a really nice translation. So they're realizing their guilt, and they're talking among each other. And what language are they talking in? Not Egyptian. 22.
And Reuben answered them, "Did I not tell you not to sin against the boy? But you did not listen. So now there comes a reckoning for his blood."
Okay. And how much older were his brothers than him? At least a little bit, because he's the last one born. And there are those, was it, not 14, but 13 years. The range of the births of the kids when they were in Paddan Aram. Okay. And that's it. Let's see.
23.
Yeah, I know. It's Reuben.
He was the oldest. Had said.
Who was trying to protect Joseph, and it didn't work. And the other one that tried somewhat is Judah. And the rest are just like wild men. Unruly. So, 20. Is there a reckoning? Yeah, there's a reckoning. And as everything else is going on, there is the other parts of the ledger. And there is a reckoning. So, 23.
They did not realize that Joseph could understand them since he was using an interpreter. So, there you go. They didn't speak Egyptian, they had an interpreter.
they may have been able to speak Egyptian haltingly, but...
My first thought when we're back on that phrase was like, I bet you they're using an interpreter. But
yeah, how many?
I didn't say it out loud.
How many leaders of the nations in Europe speak English in some form?
Most of them.
Uh-huh. But you use an interpreter at times. Yeah, we watch that happen. And you can speak your language in the general terms that others will understand, or you can dive deep into your language. And it's called code switching. The deaf community does that. They code switch for me because I'm not as good as Paula. With Paula, she passes for deaf. She's very good. Then he turned away from them and wept. And he returned to them and spoke to them. And he took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes. Oh. Yeah. Ask yourselves a question. Back with the throwing in the pit. Who was it that was speaking up and deciding to treat him badly?
Simeon?
Probably Simeon. Who was it that went and slaughtered the folks at the defiling of Dinah? On the third day when they were sore, two of the sons of Jacob, guess who? Simeon and Levi. Okay. So we have tracing the character through. Verse 25.
And Joseph gave orders to fill their bags with grain and to replace every man's money in his sack, and to give them provisions for the journey. This was done for them.
Ah, okay. Except for Simeon. How's Simeon going to be treated? I don't know. Then they loaded their donkeys with their grain and departed. Verse 27.
At the place where they stopped for the night, one of them opened his sack to get feed for his donkey, and he saw his silver in the mouth of his sack.
Uh-oh. He said to his brothers, my money has been put back. Here it is in the mouth of my sack. At this, their hearts failed them, and they turned trembling to one another, saying, what is this that God has done to us? They know where the judgment's coming from. 29.
When they came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them. They said,
the man, the lord of the land, spoke roughly to us and took us to be spies of the land. Verse 31.
But we said to him, we are honest men and we are not spies.
We're 12 brothers, sons of our father. One is no more, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. 33.
And the man, the lord of the land, said to us, by this I shall know that you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers with me, and take grain for the famine of your households, and go your way.
Bring your youngest brother to me, then I shall know that you are not spies, but honest men. And I will deliver your brother to you, and you shall trade in the land. What to do, what to do. 35.
As he entered their sacks, behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And their father saw their bundles of money, they were afraid.
Let's see, how's Jacob going to react to this? What do you think? And Jacob, their father, said to them, you have bereaved me of my children. Joseph is no more, and Simeon is no more, And now you would take Benjamin? All this has come against me. Wow. Okay. They're in trouble. This next part of negotiating is entertaining. Somebody read it.
Then Reuben said to his father, "You may put both of my sons to death if I do not bring him back to you. Entrust him to my care, and I will bring him back."
You can kill your grandson.
That is Benjamin. If I don't bring back Benjamin, you can kill two of your grandsons.
Well, did they love their sons more than their grandson? You know, the way of the world back then, the way of the land.
Well, the way that they speak irresponsibly. Remember who this is.
Bible soap opera.
They are not
thinking clearly.
Well, they're just speaking flippantly like we tend to do to this day.
Mm-hmm. He didn't really mean anything.
I think he's saying it just to prove how
much he's willing to protect him.
Right.
But he, that would be Jacob, but he said, "My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is the only one left. If harm should happen to him on the journey that you are to make, you would bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to Sheol." Oof. He is the only one left?
Of Rachel.
Yeah, ouch.
Of Rachel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joseph being gone, he's still showing favoritism.
Yeah. Well, that's why I asked. I mean, do they love their sons more than their grandsons? I mean.
And what about Simeon?
Still there.
Still there.
What about, that's just it. What about Simeon? Doesn't he want Simeon to come back? I don't care if Simeon dies as long as you don't take
Benjamin.
Yeah.
There's a movie titled The Expendables.
Yeah. He said he's gone already. He said he's no more. So
he considers him good as dead anyway. He can bring down Benjamin. Yeah. They're still going to kill him because.
You're going to kill a third one now.
Especially now that it looks like you stole your money back and took grain.
Mm-hmm.
He's as good as dead.
Yeah, it gets worse. 43. Now the famine was severe in the land. Verse 2.
And it came to pass when they had eaten up the grain which they had brought from Egypt that their father said to them, "Go back, buy us a little food."
Okay. And who's the next one to speak? The other one who tried to protect Joseph. But Judah said to him, "The man solemnly warned us, saying, 'You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you.'" Verse 4.
"If you will send our brother along with us, we will go down and buy food for you."
Mm-hmm. "But if you will not send him, we will not go down, for the man said to us, 'You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you.'" How long is this?
I know, right? They ate all the grain.
What is Simeon doing?
Simeon's sitting in prison.
Yeah. Okay. Verse 6.
Israel asked, "Why did you bring this trouble on me by telling the man you had another brother?"
He's kind of a pain in the butt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
"Why did you send your son out to the field so they could throw him into tattle anyway? It's all your fault."
Yeah. "Here, go spy on your brothers.
Come back and tattle."
Yeah.
He's got survivor's guilt, I think.
And does he not is he's being punished for what he did so many years ago by stealing his brother's blessing? It doesn't say it, but I'm saying they already think they're being punished for selling Joseph.
to slavery, so, but how quickly Jacob forgets that.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
His wrongs.
Yeah.
They replied, "The man questioned us carefully about ourselves and our kindred, saying, 'Is your father still alive? Do you have another brother?' What we told him was an answer to these questions. Could we in any way know that he would say, 'Bring your brother down?'" Verse 8.
And Judah said to Israel, his father, "Send the boy along with me, and we will go at once, so that we and you and our children may live and not die."
Mm-hmm. "I will be a pledge of his safety. From my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever." And one more verse from him, verse 10.
"As it is, if we had not delayed, we could have gone and returned twice."
So how long has Simeon been cooling his heel this there?
Journey twice.
Never
there and back.
Journey. Yes.
We could have been there twice and back by now.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I skipped that.
"Then their father Israel said to them, 'If it must be so, then do this. Take some of the choice fruits of the land in your bags and carry a present down to the man. A little balm and a little honey, gum, myrrh, pistachio nuts, and almonds."
What the hell of all that? How come stuff? They got a family?
The grain isn't growing.
Yeah, but
certain things,
fruit and nuts.
Certain things, special spots where trees are able to dig deep,
mm-hmm,
to get a little bit of water, those trees are surviving, and there is a little bit that is still growing. But what is growing? Myrrh is the sap of a desert tree, and nuts, and some balm. And what else?
Honey.
Honey. So there are bees around.
That's what all these health addicts want us to eat now is nuts and
grass. Wasn't that for burial?
That's
for burial.
Myrrh was for burial and for perfume and for pain killing.
Yeah.
And for romance.
Why bread?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, smell good.
Song of Solomon mentions myrrh.
But that's what the wise men brought too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
And there are two kinds of myrrh. Because there are two trees that whose sap can be made into myrrh. One is more expensive than the other, and in the ancient times, kings in the desert region would have guards around the myrrh trees, and anybody found stealing myrrh, death. Because if you restrict the supply, you know what happens with the price. Okay.
And the living has two different kinds of myrrh. Oil.
Mm-hmm. Now the price has dropped. You know, just a bare percentage of what it was back then. Because it's not restricted. And it, if you can grow myrrh trees, you grow myrrh trees. So verse 12.
"Take double the amount of silver with you, for you must return the silver that was put back into the mouths of your sacks. Perhaps it was a mistake."
Yeah. That's your story. Stick with it. "Take also your brother and arise, go again to the man." Verse 14.
"May God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, and may he send back your other brother and Benjamin. And as for me, if I am bereaved of my children, I am bereaved.
Yep. So the men took this present, and they took double the money with them, and Benjamin. They arose and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. Verse 16.
When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, "Take these men to my home and slaughter an animal and make ready, for these men will dine with me at noon."
Mm-hmm. So he accepts their word that they are not spies at this point, is what he's saying to them. The man did as Joseph told him and brought the men into Joseph's house. Verse 18.
Now the men were frightened when they were taken to his house. They thought, "We were brought here because of the silver that was put back in our sacks the first time. He wants to attack us and overpower us and seize us as slaves and take our donkeys."
Yep.
Nobody trusts.
Paranoid much?
So they went up to the steward of Joseph's house and spoke with him at the door of the house. Verse 20.
And said, "Oh my lord, we came down the first time to buy food.
And when we came to the lodging place, we opened our sacks, and there was each man's money in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight. So we have brought it again with us." Okay, verse 22.
"We have also brought additional silver with us to buy food. We don't know who put our silver in our sacks."
Mm-hmm. He replied, "Peace to you, do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has put treasure in your sacks for you. I received your money."
So it magically appeared in their sacks? Is that what he's saying?
Basically. Then he brought Simeon out to them. Okay, so Simeon has been under custody. How badly has he been treated? How well has he been treated? Probably has varied.
Probably been there a couple years.
We don't know.
Where have you guys been?
Back and
what
forth.
The?
Verse 22, or 24.
The steward took the men into Joseph's house, gave them water to wash their feet, and provided fodder for their donkeys.
Mm-hmm. They prepared the present for Joseph's coming at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. Okay. 26.
And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed down before him to the earth.
Bowed down how far?
To the earth.
To the ground.
Yeah, face to the ground.
Just like his dream.
Yep.
Yeah. And he inquired about their welfare and said, "Is your father well, the old man of whom you spoke? Is he still alive?" Verse 28.
They said, "Your servant, our father, is well. He is still alive." And they bowed their heads and prostrated themselves.
Again, right? Right?
Yeah.
And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your youngest brother of whom you spoke to me? God be gracious to you, my son." Okay, verse 30.
Deeply moved at the sight of his brother, Joseph hurried out and looked for a place to weep. He went into his private room and wept there.
Okay. That would confuse them.
And were there people in Egypt that loved God? Would this be an eyebrow raiser for them to say that there'd be an Egyptian that honors their God?
Well, in polytheism. The polytheist sees your God as a God. Nothing more than that. And there are many, many gods, and your God blesses you, and my God blesses me. And we respect each other that way. the trouble is when these monotheists come along and say there is no God but the Lord.
Right. Well, and that's what he said. It doesn't say your God bless you. It just says God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Or God be with you, son. So that's what I'm saying. He's speaking as if there's only one God. But it would be understood.
I don't think you can push it to that extent in what they would have understood.
Mm-hmm.
What he meant and intended may be there, speaking of the one true God. But that is not what everybody around him would have heard by what he's saying.
And they're thinking he's Egyptian, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's almost implied that he is a polytheist. And
mm-hmm.
it went over their heads. Yeah.
But just to double check this, that is 43 verse 30, or 43 verse 29.
Because he says that God put the money back in his sacks and God did this. He doesn't say the sun god did this or the god of gold did this or your god did this. He just says God. I don't know. Just it would raise an eyebrow for me, but I didn't live back then.
And
because of my mouth, it's long. And so I'm not trying to play stump the bartender. I'm just.
The term for God that's used here is Elohim, which is generic.
Okay.
God. Anybody can use that word.
Okay.
Okay, where are we?
31.
Then he washed his face and came out, and controlling himself, he said, "Serve the food." 32. This is interesting.
They served him by himself, the brothers by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because Egyptians could not eat with Hebrews, for that is detestable to Egyptians.
Yeah, they're nasty and clean. Huh. Right?
Yeah. And if you eat with someone, you become brothers with them.
But it's more looking down on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you see their table manners?
I know.
Yeesh. Verse 33, and they sat before him. Joseph has arranged the places of seating. They sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked at one another in amazement. How's he know the order?
Yeah. They had help.
At which point he is toying with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Verse 34.
Portions were taken to them from Joseph's table, but Benjamin's portion was five times as much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him.
Yikes, that's huge. Five times as much.
Don't you think Joseph is excited for the revealing or not?
He's cautious still at this point. He's cautious.
I guess I'm thinking in terms of siblings, my brother.
He's got to lead them through this.
I mean, he was probably excited about Benjamin. Would have been, what, maybe a toddler?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the others,
he would have been young.
Well, he's going to be wary of him. Look what they did.
He's only technically complete bio sibling.
Right,
Okay. So we go on. Then he commanded the steward of his house, fill the men's sacks with food as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of his sack. Verse 2.
And put my cup, the silver one, in the mouth of the youngest one's sack, along with the silver for his grain. And he did as Joseph said.
Ah. So that'll bring him back. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away with their donkeys. Verse 4.
They had only gone a short distance from the city. Now Joseph said to his steward, "Up, follow the men, and when you overtake them, say to them, 'Why have you repaid evil with for good?'"
Whew. And Joseph's not going with? Nope. "Is it not from this that my Lord drinks, and by this that he practices divination?" Well, does he?
No.
"You have done evil in doing this." Verse 6.
When he caught up with them, he repeated these words to them.
They said to him, "Why does my Lord speak such words as these? Far be it from your servants to do such a thing." Verse 8.
"Behold the money that we found in the mouths of our sacks we brought back to you from the land of Canaan. How then could we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house?"
Okay, let's speak rashly. "Whichever of your servants is found with it shall die." "And we also will be my Lord's servants." Boy, they are not quick on the uptake, are they? I mean, after the money was back in their sacks, and they're being accused now that they're going to rashly say this? The things Jacob put up with.
I think they learned it from
him. Yeah. Fruit doesn't fall far. Yeah.
Verse 10.
"Very well, then," he said, "let it be as you say. Whoever is found to have it will become my slave. The rest of you will be free from blame."
Then each man quickly lowered his sack to the ground, and each man opened his sack. Verse 12.
And he searched, beginning with the eldest and ending with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack.
Notice how he plays it. Yeah. We'll begin with the eldest.
Yeah. And they're probably all smug up to that point. You know.
Okay. "Then they tore their clothes, and every man loaded his donkey, and they returned to the city." Verse 14.
"Joseph was still in the house when Judah and his brothers came in, and they threw themselves to the ground before him.
Joseph said to them, 'What deed is this that you have done? Do you not know that a man like me can indeed practice divination?'" I'm just jerking their chain at this point. Mm-hmm. Verse 16.
"What can we say to my Lord?" Judah replied. "What can we say? How can we prove our innocence? God has uncovered your servant's guilt. We are now my Lord's slaves, we ourselves, and the one who was found to have the cup."
I have to stop there because the steward that went out to him said that the rest would be free and only Joseph would be found.
Hey, what did they have in their sacks?
They had nothing, but they didn't have the silver.
They had the money.
Oh, I thought he was talking about the cup.
And the one with the cup should die.
Right, but then he said, "Let it be as you say. Whoever is found to have it will become my slave. The rest of you will be free from blame."
But then he opens this. They open the sacks and...
No, he's after them for the cup.
He's looking for the cup, but as he's opening the sacks, what's he find?
The money.
The money.
So they're all guilty.
Yeah.
But only Benjamin has to die.
Basically, that's what it looks like. And can you imagine what's being said as each sack is opened and there's the money?
Naughty words.
How many soldiers were along with this guy? And then Benjamin sacks open, and there's not only the money, there's the cup. And it's not the Stanley cup. It's on loan. We'll come and get it back.
So they said it was just the cup. They could have extra silver.
Yeah.
And it doesn't say that they were mad about the silver.
It doesn't say.
Hit. Yeah. It's he's coming after the
there's
cup.
There's a lot of things to fill in that we are not given all of the details of.
Well, they but you can't add to the
but,
Bible.
But we can't say only what is in the wording is only what happened.
You can suppose, but you can't.
They all had to go back because they had to plead for Benjamin's life.
That's right.
So yep.
What my point is that they were so quick to throw Joseph and get rid of him, but they weren't going to let this guy go by himself,
mm-hmm.
Little Benjamin
changed.
Go by himself. They're going to stay with him. That's how I see it. Because he said, you're free from blame. You guys can go. You're free. You're off the hook. No more worries. You know, but they went back with Benjamin.
Yeah. Yeah.
They would not leave him like they should have been with Joseph back in the day.
And that may be a valid point.
Face their father.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Exactly.
Jacob wanted
they already did that
back,
once.
Right.
And it was awful.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we go on. Verse 17. But he said, that would be Joseph, far be it from me that I should do so. Only the man in whose hand the cup was found shall be my servant. But as for you, go up in peace to your father.
See?
Wow!
It was all about the cup.
And they're going to be shaking all through this.
Mm-hmm.
18.
Then Judah went up to him and said, please, my lord, let your servant speak a word to my lord. Do not be angry with your servant, though you are equal to Pharaoh himself.
Mm-hmm. My lord asked his servant, saying, have you a father or a brother? Verse 20.
And we answered, we have an aged father, and there is a young son born to him in his old age. His brother is dead, and he is the only one of his mother's sons left, and his father loves him.
Then you said to your servants, bring him down to me that I may set my eyes on him. Verse 22.
Now he said to my lord, the boy cannot leave his father. If he leaves him, his father will die.
Then you said to your servants, unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall not see my face again. 24.
When we went back to your servant, my father, we told him the words of my lord.
And when our father said, go again, buy us a little food, 26.
We cannot go down. If our youngest brother goes with us, then we will go down. For we cannot see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us.
Then your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons. 28.
One left me, and I said, surely he has been torn to pieces, and I have never seen him since.
If you take this one also from me, and harm happens to him, you will bring down my gray hairs in evil to Sheol. 30.
So now if the boy is not with us when I go back to your servant, my father, and if my father, whose life is closely bound up with the boy's life,
as soon as he sees that the boy is not with us, he will die. And your servants will bring down the gray hairs of your servant, our father, with sorrow to Sheol. 32.
Your servant guaranteed the boy's safety to my father. I said, if I do not bring him back to you, I will bear the blame before you, my father, all my life.
Now, therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the boy as a servant to my lord, and let the boy go back with his brothers. 34.
How can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? No, do not let me see the misery that would come upon my father.
I'm going to do a Yeah, okay, a couple more verses. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. Verse 2.
And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it.
Mm-hmm. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. Yeah.
My body says terrified.
Verse 4.
And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt."
And now comes the real reveal. Verse 5.
And now, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. So this was my... This is what I was supposed to do.
He's taken a while to get to there, hasn't he?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You sold me into slavery, but it was God's plan so that lives could be saved.
Oh, and now we get to see how long the famine.
His brothers sold him, so he saved them. Who's that a picture of?
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And with that, we finish.